Radio News.
That was the big challenge.
We talked to an aid worker in Sierra Leone about how the Ebola outbreak is affecting treatment for other diseases. Good afternoon from the University of Southern California, and welcome to Annenberg Radio News for Tuesday, October 14th, 2014. I'm Raki Natha.
And I'm Tiffany Walton.
Former LA City Councilman Richard Alacon was sentenced to 120 days in jail today. He was convicted on perjury and voter fraud charges, all because he lived in the wrong district. He is the ninth politician in LA County to be prosecuted for this type of fraud since 2002. I spoke to Soumya Karlamangla, who was in court today covering the story for the LA Times.
Richard Alacon was on the Los Angeles City Council between 2007 and 2013, and he was prosecuted for not living in the district that he represented.
What penalties does the sentence cover?
So Alarcon was sentenced to 5 years probation, 120 days in jail, and 600 hours of community service in specifically Council District 7, which is some sort of poetic justice on the part of the judge, because Council District 7 is the district that he represented between 2007 and 2013, but was convicted of not actually living in.
In terms of the sentence, you know, how does this sentence compare with others guilty of similar crimes?
I mean, it's pretty similar. The most similar case is former State Senator Roderick Wright, who was sentenced last month. He was convicted of 8 counts of perjury and voter fraud related to where he lives. He was sentenced to 90 days in jail.
With the sentencing that occurred this morning, do you think that there's a message that's trying to be sent with it?
The decision on the part of this judge and the judge that sentenced Senator Wright, I mean, really shows that not only will you be convicted and will you have felony convictions and you can no longer serve public office, you also will be doing jail time. It's not a crime that they're taking lightly.
And what has the public response been to the sentencing?
In general, I've heard, you know, both sides of the spectrum. There are people who say they broke the law. You know, they're just because they're politicians doesn't mean they're above the law and that they should be punished. And then I've also heard people who are bothered that so much money is being spent by the district attorney. There's a general feeling that people don't really trust their elected officials.
That was Soumya Karlamangla, reporter for the LA Times. Maybe you're taking shorter showers or you can't see out the back window of your car because you're not washing it as often. Los Angeles Mayor Eric Garcetti says you need to do more. Today he signed a directive that calls for city residents to save 20% more water by 2017. Hillary Jackson reports.
According to the mayor, LA currently uses as much water today as it did 40 years ago, even though there are 1 million more residents. That would seem like good news, right? But the extent of the drought has dwarfed statewide efforts for sustaining water levels.
People are like, oh, how can you guys be wasting anything? I'm taking shorter showers, I'm shaving in the sink, you know, I've switched out my lawn.
Mark Gold from UCLA's Institute of Environment and Sustainability says LA relies too much on imported water.
89-90% of the water coming from more than 200 miles away. This is not sustainable in any way, shape, or form. So what you're hearing today is conservation is one of the most important cost-effective ways of moving forward with this new sustainability water ethic.
Kristen James with Heal the Bay says the solution is conserving groundwater and capturing rainwater.
When we do have one of these rainstorms, we need to capture that precious water before it heads out to the ocean and use this as part of our local water supply.
And Helica Gonzalez from the LA chapter of the Sierra Club says residents have to climb out of this water shortage step by step.
The thing is that people don't just have to do this when there is a drought, that it becomes more of us living with the environment always on our mind.
Garcetti urged voters to support Proposition 1, a water bond that would fund new reservoirs and efforts to convert wastewater to tap water. Californians will vote on the initiative in November. Hillary Jackson, Annenberg Radio News.
A computer glitch in scheduling classes for the Los Angeles Unified School District has left more than 200 students at Jefferson High School without the required classes or teachers. Under judicial order, the school board met today to find a remedy. Danica Ceballos joins us live by phone from LAUSD headquarters. Danica, what's going on?
Hi, so I'm here at the Los Angeles Unified School District boardroom, and there's actually not much going on right now. The meeting was supposed to start at 1:30, and we're still waiting for board members to come out and propose the plan that was expected for today.
Okay. What else is anticipated to happen today? What do you think you'll be learning?
So a little bit about what was expected for today was that the Superior Court judge had ordered the state to spend $1.1 million to fix the current problem at Jefferson High School in South L.A. And that issue was with scheduling classes and children and students being worried about graduating on time because they didn't get the classes that they needed. So today was the deadline to propose a plan to fix that issue. And what was expected was to extend school days for 30 minutes for 124 days to make up for the lost class time. They were also expected to give some of that money to transportation to make sure that students were getting to school. The state superintendent, Tom Torlakson, is also supposed to talk about the situation. However, LAUSD Superintendent John Dacey is not expected to speak because he ends in South Korea on a business trip.
Okay, thank you, Danica. That was Danica Ceballos reporting. Los Angeles football fans can continue to hold out hope for their own NFL team. Today, the city council gave developer AEG more time to find a team for the city of Los Angeles. The deal with the LA City Council was set to expire this week, but the city council extended it by 6 months. Mayor Garcetti thinks a team can be found within the next year.
Jamie Court, the president of Consumer Watchdog, had a message today. It came heaped in a wheelbarrow that he rolled to the front door of Blue Shield of California. Jessica Harrington was there to interpret the message.
Court is behind Prop 45, which would ask the insurance commissioner to determine whether rates can be raised instead of insurance companies. Court was one of the people chanting today in support of Proposition 45.
Hey, hey! Ho, ho! Blue Shield BS has got to go! Hey, hey!
He says they were there to fight against false ads that Blue Shields has been putting out.
Because they're deceptive, they're dishonest, and they're full of BS.
Representatives for insurance companies say so much has changed under the California CARE Act that this initiative is no longer needed. Robin Swanson, who is the spokeswoman for the No on Prop 45 campaign, dismissed Consumer Watchdog's event as theater aimed at fundraisers.
So it's really just a money-making scheme by Consumer Watchdog.
Joan Ehrlich is a policyholder through Blue Shields of California. She says she wants the commissioner to have the final say on rate changes.
He's not going to make it any higher. I have nothing to lose. In every other field, he's made it lower. If we put it under him and nothing happens, it'll be the same. I see it as a win-win.
Now, it's up to voters to decide on how they're going to vote when it's on the ballot on November 4th. Jessica Harrington, Annenberg Radio News.
Students at Animo High School in Inglewood had an unexpected visitor today. Marshall Tuck, candidate for State Superintendent of Education, paid a visit to his old stomping grounds. Reporter Matt Heller has more on this story.
Vereen said, don't forget to come by.
Yeah.
She wants
cool.
a sign for her yard.
We have signs in the bus.
We do.
Yeah.
Oh, you do?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, I need a sign.
Today was something like a homecoming for Marshall Tuck. As part of his campaign for state superintendent of public instruction, Tuck visited his old stomping grounds, Animo Inglewood Charter High School.
So how's the school doing?
The school?
I mean, I was looking at the date, obviously, still it just seems like it's still
metrics
great,
wise,
right?
We're doing well.
Yeah.
I think the glaring area where we're really working on is.
Tuck wasn't a student there, but he was president of the charter school company that founded Animo High in 2002. Animo is part of a charter system where 90% of the students participate in the federal government's free and reduced price lunch program. The school now claims to have more graduates attending UCLA than any other high school in the city.
In Inglewood, when we got here, you had Inglewood High and Morningside High just not delivering well for kids, and unfortunately that's still the case. And we created this school, and when we first got here, we were brand new to Inglewood, but parents wanted a better option for their kids.
Tuck's candidacy is getting a good deal of buzz in Sacramento. A September field poll found Tuck ahead of incumbent Tom Torlakson by 3 percentage points. Even though more than 40% of voters in the poll were undecided, Tuck's campaign picked up momentum.
Yeah, obviously we were excited, but not completely surprised.
Tuck says that's because disappointment with the state's education system is widespread.
I mean, people want major change. They know we're not doing well. As you and I are speaking right now, there are 2.5 million children that are in public schools that can't read and write at grade level.
The Tuck versus Torlakson race has become symbolic of divisions within the state Democratic Party on education policy. At the age of 41, Tuck, a Democrat, is the boyishly handsome face of reform, kind of a mellower West Coast Michelle Rhee, the former Washington, D.C. school chief that received national attention for her reform crusade. Like Rhee, Tuck supports longer waiting periods for teacher tenure and easing restrictions on firing instructors.
Now, our state law says all layoffs are done based on seniority, irrespective of performance. So irrespective of how good a teacher may be, layoffs are done based on seniority. So if you're a college student and you're thinking about what job can I take, do you want to take a job where you could be great at your job? Like, you could be great, but after 4 years, you get fired because somebody else who's not good at their job has been there for 8 years.
Torlakson, 65 and also a Democrat, is a former high school teacher with more than 3 decades of experience in Sacramento. He's been officially endorsed by the state Democratic Party and has been generously funded by teachers' unions. At this hour, Tuck is being endorsed by 9 public school students involved in Vergara versus California. The lawsuit prompted a judge to declare several aspects of state teacher tenure laws unconstitutional. Torlakson and the Brown administration opposed the Vergara decision, which is currently in appeals. Matt Heller, Annenberg Radio News.
Taking a look at the weather this week, it's going to be cool and mostly cloudy. Tonight will be in the low 60s, dipping into the low 70s tomorrow and Thursday. And looking ahead to the weekend, we're going to have temperatures in the mid-70s with partly cloudy skies and lows in the 60s.
Later on Annenberg Radio News, some say hipsters have invaded Grand Central Market, but can they get along with the old clientele? Market in downtown Los Angeles, it's immediately apparent what's going on. Sleek, west side-looking coffee and cheese shops share the same cavernous space with fast-order diners serving up plates heaped with daily specials of tacos and beans and rice. Detour's reporter Holly Thompson followed the mouth-watering scent through the market to see if hipsters and the more traditional Mexican clientele can coexist.
Walking in here, I'm torn between the pupusas and the $5 coffee, made with fresh almond macadamia milk. This place clearly has a mixed identity. The menus are in Spanish and English. Latino people are picking through produce in one corner, and perhaps a hipper and younger clientele are munching on grass-fed truffle burgers on the other. What's happening to Grand Central Market?
I'm Rocio Lopez. This is my dad's business. He's been here for 45 years. The new business, they don't talk to us, to the Mexican people. Only detailed cheese and the Bel Campo. Sometimes I feel sad because you won't see the people that used to come before. The bus doesn't stop anymore where they're supposed to stop, and they drop the people all the way 2 or 3 blocks from the market. Everything is expensive, and that's what people are complaining.
Just in society in general, gentrification is almost a four-letter word. That's not the truth. I'm Reed Herrick, DTLA Cheese in Grand Central Market, and I am the owner, chef. Neighborhoods need to evolve. There were 18,000 people living down here 20 years ago. Today, there's probably 75,000 people living down here. To see a community coming back to downtown and growing once again, I think that's a great thing. We have about 150 cheeses from all around the world sourced from very conscious farmers and dairies. The cost of making cheese is expensive. You're talking about the farmer and the dairy and the land, and we're not ashamed of our prices. They're very competitive. I think whether it's the burrito raising their prices or the butcher shop being the prices that they are, everybody has to kind of raise their game and their prices. There's no reason why we can't all do this together.
really worried because this place has been here for more than 33 years. We're here just by rent, you know, by monthly. They don't want to give them more lease. So I know for sure we're leaving. It's either next year or by the end of this year. They just keep on telling the owner to not worry. As long as he keeps on giving the rent, everything is going to be okay. But that's what they tell everybody. And, you know, that's what happened to most of the places they left.
That was an employee from Jones Grain Mill. She told me that seven vendors have moved out of Grand Central Market since she started working here 8 years ago. I think her view of changing clientele is perhaps a little pessimistic. There's hope yet. I invited my friend Mark, an American Argentine, who has been coming here for years. He usually only comes for the Mexican food. I took him to my favorite stop, G&B Coffee, to see if I could widen his horizon.
What's in a business or pleasure?
It's a split espresso, so you get a single espresso by itself. Then you also get a single iced almond macadamia nut cappuccino. We make the milk here in-house. And then you get a side of our fizzy hoppy tea. It's a cold brew black tea that we carbonate and then infuse with citra hops.
No, that was fizzy hoppy tea. That was good. I liked it. Took my sip and I put it down and I just went, holy moly. That's how good it was. It was a holy moly.
That was reporter Holly Thompson for Detours.
Mexican community members rallied in downtown Los Angeles today for the return of 43 student teachers who were allegedly kidnapped in Mexico. Christiana Wiggins has the story.
Members of the labor group Vamos Unidos protested today in opposition of the government in Guerrero, Mexico, where the student teachers were captured. President of the organization, Juan Gutierrez, explained why these events spurred such outrage.
People are really upset that the Mexican government seems not to care about the collective safety of civil society throughout Mexico, and most specifically at this point in the state of Guerrero.
This demonstration echoes protests happening throughout the state of Guerrero. Protesters say they want respect for the human rights of the kidnapped teachers. Christiana Wiggins, Annenberg Radio News.
Efforts to prevent Ebola from spreading throughout the U.S. is gaining ground. I spoke to Brandon Brown, assistant professor of public health at the University of California, Irvine, about the latest efforts. Today, the CDC announced a new plan for countering Ebola. Included in that plan was sending out a rapid response team to any hospital where a new case of Ebola is confirmed. Can you speak about this and just discuss why rescue teams have not been a part of a plan before?
I think maybe one of the biggest reasons for that is because this epidemic is still new. We're still learning things each day, and with the case of the healthcare worker, the nurse that was infected by the patient, we realized that even though we're trying to prepare ourselves and use personal protective equipment in the hospitals, and we're having drills and education, we still could be doing more, and we need leadership of places like the Center for Disease Control and Prevention to come and tell us how to do it right and protect ourselves and prevent more spread of Ebola infection.
The rapid response teams, is that something that the CDC puts together, or is that something that will be done by local hospitals?
Overall, the rapid response team is kind of being led under the leadership of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. But I know the CDC has a big part in that, as they're the ones that are kind of overall leading the investigation of potential spread of Ebola infections in the United States.
More than 10,000 people in California will be getting bad news this week. They will no longer be covered by the Affordable Care Act, otherwise known as Obamacare-covered California. The statewide exchange implementing that shift says is because those people haven't officially proven they are Californians. As Carrie Poppy reports, however, that news isn't as bad as it sounds.
It's been a nervous month for 98,000 families in California, families that received warnings starting last month that their immigration status hadn't been verified and that they could lose their health insurance promptly if they didn't prove their legal right to be in the state. This week, Covered California announced that number had been whittled down to about 10,000 people who still haven't sent in the necessary paperwork. And according to Joseph Viela of the Coalition for Humane Immigrant Rights of Los Angeles, that number is actually surprisingly small?
The numbers are very low. We have more than 2.3 million folks who are legal immigrants here. We're encouraged by the numbers. They're low in comparison.
He's right about that. California's Department of Healthcare Services says more than 3 million Californians registered for subsidized health insurance this year. And now, only about 0.3% of the cases remain unresolved. That's pretty good for the state with the largest immigrant population in the country. And as Covered California points out, they're required by law to terminate plans for unqualified individuals. Still, Viela says he hopes Covered California will go easy on people who may have simply not understood the registration process or need extra time to get their documents together.
Obviously, there's a lot of complexity to this issue, so there might be some folks that may have misread the information or thought that they qualify, but they don't qualify.
The people who mistakenly thought they qualified are a big concern because the government could send bills to people who received subsidized health care when they didn't qualify. And what about the people who truly aren't documented?
A disease does not discriminate based on citizenship. And so it's in the best interest for our state to really have a system that provides preventive care to all its residents. Because then in the long term, that's going to save us money.
For now, Covered California says they are just trying to help the people who are losing their insurance. That's a big enough hurdle for a while. Carrie Poppy, Annenberg Radio News.
Now it's time to hear the sounds of another place that's uniquely Los Angeles.
Sonic City! Sonic City!
We are Parkour Free Running Club at UNC! Sign up for us right there!
I am part of the UNC Free Running Club. I'm one of the founders. We do parkour everywhere on campus, like wherever we see a bench, a table, a little obstacle, anywhere. We just do parkour wherever we can. We have fun with it. We see, ledges. We see walls. It's like it's really conquering one's body, being able to dominate one's environment in any way that one wants to do.
Sonic City!
Now we check in with Faith Miller to see what's coming up on Annenberg TV News at 6 p.m. on Trojan Vision. Welcome, Faith.
Thank you. So tonight we went up to Pasadena to talk to some homeless people who are getting connected with a lot of the services they need. We spoke to the mayor of Pasadena about why this is really important to the city. And also the events on the row for homecoming have been canceled, but students are not as upset as you would expect. We spoke to them about what they plan to do instead. And Jefferson High was sued recently because they couldn't have schedules available for students. Now they're required to figure out a way for them to make up the work that they've missed.
And what exactly are students going to be doing instead?
Apparently there's going to be a carnival on Thursday on the row.
Okay, just want to know because, we'd be keen, right?
Definitely.
Absolutely. Great. Thanks so much, Faith. Looking forward to it.
Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg and his wife Priscilla Chan donated $25 million today to the CDC to help combat the spread of the Ebola virus in West Africa. Zuckerberg shared on Facebook that he and his wife believe this is the best way to help the CDC help manage what the World Health Organization is calling the most severe acute health emergency seen in modern times.
That's it for this Tuesday. We had help today from Maya Guerra and Diana Lee. Our board operator is Lexi McVinci. JJ Maldonado stepped in for producer Madeleine Uhls, who we hope feels better. The executive producer is Andy Vesayin. With Tiffany Walton, I'm Rocky Nathan.